Exodus chapter 3. If you're able to stand easily, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Exodus chapter number 3. Beginning in verse number 1, it says this. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we could be here in this place tonight. Thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us today. Lord, we pray that you would be with Pastor Lance as he's still not feeling well. Be with Brother Bushy, the missionary, and his family, and they're not feeling well. Lord, I pray that you would keep the folks here well and healthy. And God, I pray that you would work in hearts this week during this missions conference. Stir us to have the same kind of desire to see the world saved as you do. And we'll just thank you for all that you do tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here in Exodus chapter number 3, you know what's going on now. Moses has run away from Egypt after killing the Egyptian, and now he's been on the backside of the desert here for 40 years. And Moses is not a youngster at this point. As a matter of fact, he's 80 years old. And he's out there with the sheep, and he's out there like he is every day, like he's been doing for decades. And he's walking along with the sheep, and all of a sudden there's a bush on fire. And I don't know if that was common or not. I've heard people say that wouldn't have been common necessarily. There could be uncommon. There could have been a lightning strike and that kind of thing, and it wouldn't be that strange. But the fact that the bush was on fire was not the odd thing. The odd thing was that while the bush was on fire, it was just as green and fresh as it had been before. It wasn't, the leaves weren't curling up and the branches weren't getting brittle and they weren't falling off and it was real fire and a real bush, but it was not being consumed. And so Moses stopped and he looked at it and he wondered what was happening there. And when he stopped, God spoke to him. And what I want to preach to you about tonight is this, the call of God. The call of God. Now, don't get the wrong idea. I'm not talking about being called to the ministry, called to missions, or called to some kind of special thing. You see, there are very specific calls that God puts on the lives of individuals. There are things God has for you to do that He doesn't have for you to do. And there are things that God has for you to do that you are perfectly equipped for that He's not equipped for. And so there are specific calls and specific ministries and all the rest. And quite honestly, I can't tell you what the specifics are for your life. I can't tell you that. As a matter of fact, it would be silly of me to think that I could. Why would God tell me the specifics for your life? I have a hard enough time being sensitive to the Spirit of God about the specifics for my life. I don't need Him telling me the specifics about 100 other people. It would just be confusing. Amen? So you have to get that directly from God. But there are some general things about the call of God that go out everywhere. And I want you to see in this story of Moses at the burning bush, the call of God in that sense tonight. First of all, I want you to see the call of salvation. I want you to liken the first part of this to that call of salvation. In verse 4, it says, And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. So here comes Moses with the sheep, and the bush is already on fire. So God's presence is already there. God is already doing something there. But Moses comes along and he sees it and he stops. And when he stops, God begins to speak to him personally. Again, I want to liken that to the call of salvation, because the call of salvation goes out everywhere. It's not, when people don't get saved, it's not a matter of God not wanting them to be saved. It's them not paying attention to God. Do you get that? The presence of God is already there. The working of God is already there, but some stop and pay attention, and some just march on past and don't pay attention. You got to learn to listen to God. If you'll learn to listen to God, it'll transform your life. And here Moses stops at the bush and he looks, and the Bible says when God sees that Moses stops, then God speaks to him personally. In Matthew chapter number 9, verse 13, Jesus said, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Acts chapter 17, verse 30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, "But that all should come to repentance." God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. On the authority of the Word of God, I can tell you that people who die and go to hell do so in opposition to the will of God for them, because He desires them to be saved. That's what He wants from their lives. And yet, many don't stop. They don't pay attention. Listen, if you make it through your life in the United States of America without ever hearing the gospel, now I know our society is wicked and it's perverse and all the rest, but still, you can get the gospel almost anywhere. You really can. You can buy a Bible in the Dollar Tree or the Walmart, and you can see billboards with Bible verses, and we see them all the time. You're going down the highway, there's John 3:16 on a billboard. It's everywhere. You can turn on the radio or the television, and if you flip through all the stuff, it doesn't matter if it's over the broadcast or if it's on cable, you're going to find some Christian station of some sort, who, no matter how weird and way out it is, where sooner or later they're going to present the gospel. I mean, it is available. There are churches everywhere. Are there not? Churches all over the place. And if you had a desire to find God, and you live in the United States of America, I don't know how you miss it. I just don't. I don't know how you make it all the way through your life without ever hearing the gospel at all. Because it's just every place. I mean, even people at football games who don't even know God hold up signs that say John 3:16 on them. I mean, everybody is familiar with those words and with that truth. And so in this country, you'd be hard-pressed, I believe, to make it all the way through your life and not have some concept of God and some concept that Jesus died for your sins. And yet people just march on by. They don't pay attention. Oh, we've been in restaurants and truck stops and stuff all over the country, everywhere. And you know what you find in a lot of them? Gospel tracts. Really? Gas pumps. I find them in gas pumps. Getting gas, and there's a tract. I pull out, look at it. I look at it just to see who left it. Sometimes I know the church it's from. Sometimes I know who it's from, and I tuck it right back in there for the next guy. I've found them in the restroom, in the truck stops. And I look to see who it was, and I put it back. And if it's not heresy, I put it back. Amen. Every once in a while, you get one of those baptismal regeneration tracts, and I just kind of shred that up and throw that away. But other than that, there's opportunity all over the place to hear the gospel, and all you have to do is stop and pay attention. That's all you got to do. Just stop and pay attention, and God will speak to you, and you'll have an opportunity to follow Him. Moses stopped. That call to salvation goes out worldwide. And it's not a matter that the call doesn't go out. It's just that an awful lot of people are not listening. You know why people in Thailand and in the Philippines, and last week we were with some missionaries that were going to Mongolia and to Myanmar, which is Burma, and China. And you know what you find in those places? You find in those places that people are all caught up in a false religion, and they worship idols, and they all kinds of stuff like you heard tonight on the presentation. But the reason they do that is because deep down inside, they know there's a God up there somewhere, and they desire to know him. Now, they get misled, and the devil throws all kinds of foolishness in their path and drags them off in multiple directions. But that desire is in there. Why? Well, because God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of Christ. And so that call to salvation goes out. The question is not, does the call go out, is, are you listening? And then the call to separation goes out. Once you've answered that first call, then God begins to work in your life. Look at verse number 5. Moses said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now that Moses has stopped, paid attention, and listened to God, now God says, all right, Moses, take your shoes off, because the place you're standing is holy ground. Now, do you think that ground changed in between the time Moses first walked up there and the time God said, take your shoes off, it's holy ground? I don't. You think God reached out of the bush and sprinkled some pixie dust on it and made it holy ground all of a sudden? No, it was the same ground that was there before. It was the same ground that was there yesterday when Moses walked by. So why now is it holy ground? Because God is there. And wherever God is, that's holy ground. And he said, Moses, now that you've stopped and paid attention to me, you know who I am. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. You see, God doesn't ask you to transform your life before you stop and pay attention and get saved. But he does as soon as you pay attention. Once you get saved, now God wants to do things in your life. And he wants to transform everything. And the Bible tells us that when we get saved, we become the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit of God moves inside and we become the dwelling place of God. That means everywhere you go as a born again child of God, God is with you and he is there. You know what that means? That means you're sitting in a holy chair. Because the presence of God is there. Because he's not dwelling in a tent or a tabernacle somewhere. Now he's dwelling in his children. In other words, every place I go, God goes with me. Do you suppose there are some places God would rather not go? Maybe some things he would rather not have to be involved in? Listen, when it came to the temple and the tabernacle, God was very specific about what you could and could not do in those areas. And I think God still cares what happens in his temple. You know, this is just a building. It's a lovely building. I love this auditorium. I really do. It's cozy to me because the church I grew up in had a ceiling just like this. And when I got bored, I would count the knots in the ceiling. And so there's something cozy about it to me because of the ceiling and the beams. And I like that. And it's beautiful. But God doesn't live here. This is just a building. Now, it's a building that we've set aside for the service of God and a place where we come to learn about him and to fellowship together and rejoice in his goodness. But he doesn't live here. He lives here. Can you imagine how you would feel if the temperature dropped again like it did the other day and all of a sudden there was snow on the ground when we walked out of church? And I know that's scary, isn't it? And you know it could happen too, don't you? And tomorrow night you came in and Brother Madonna and I have built a little fire right here. Yeah. And Pastor Stephen was passing out sticks with marshmallows on them. And saying, come on in, roast a marshmallow. We're not eating cookies. We're roasting marshmallows. And we build a fire right here. We're roasting marshmallows. You'd get mad, wouldn't you? I remember burning the carpet and there'd be smoke damage in the whole place. And we'd never get the stink out and the smoke damage. But this is just a building. And yet people who claim to have the Holy Spirit of God living inside them go out and light up and do smoke damage to the real dwelling place of God. Don't even think twice about it. We ought to think twice about it. Because this is where God lives now. Not here. Well, we'd be upset if somebody spray painted the walls out there and put graffiti on it, wouldn't we? I mean, even nice graffiti, like I love mom. If they wrote that on there, we'd still be upset. And yet people who claim to know the God of heaven go and have that kind of thing etched into their skin. And this is where God lives. We'd be mad if it happened to the building. And yet we think we have the right to do it to the dwelling place of God. You see, we need to stop and pay attention. And then once we do, God says, now you need to take your shoes off and understand that I'm here now. And things are different now. It's the call to salvation. And then as soon as the call to salvation comes out, the call to separation goes out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18 says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us we're called to be conformed to the image of Christ. What is that? Well, that's once you're saved, now you're different from the world and you need to recognize it and act accordingly. The call to salvation goes out worldwide. The problem is not that the call doesn't go out, it's that people aren't listening. And for everybody who gets saved, the call to separation goes out. There are no exceptions. It's just that some folks are not listening. As a matter of fact, today, not only are they not listening, they're screaming back saying, I don't want to do that. What a terrible shame. So that call to salvation goes out, the call to separation goes out, and then the call to service follows right on the heels. Look, if you would, at verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You know what's happening to the Israelites right now while they're in Egypt, while God is talking to Moses? They've been slaves for a long time. And as their numbers increased, it tells us in the first part of Exodus, it tells us that Pharaoh began to get nervous and started to make the workload heavier. He was trying to keep them from increasing, and they just kept multiplying and increasing. And then he said, I want all the midwives who deliver the babies of the Hebrew women. If it's a little girl, let it live. If it's a little boy, you need to kill it as soon as it's born. You remember Moses in the bulrushes. That has been going on now for 40 years plus. And they've been slaughtering little Israeli boys. Every time one comes on the scene, they kill it. Can you imagine living under that? I mean, it's bad enough to be in slavery and to be oppressed and be put down. And now, can you imagine carrying a baby? You ladies, you're carrying a baby all the while, not knowing if it's a boy or a girl, and knowing that if it's a boy, that midwife is supposed to kill it as soon as it's born. What a horrible, horrible way to live. That's what they're living under. And they're crying out to God for deliverance. And God said, I've seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians are oppressing my people. And he said, I'm going to deliver them. And then he said, Moses, I'm sending you down there. You're the one. And you're going to bring them out. Can you imagine hearing that? It must have been exciting when God said to Moses, I'm going to deliver my people. He probably said, good, that's exciting. And then he said, I'm going to send you. And Moses said, no. Really, he did. He said, no, I can't talk. Don't send me. You see, the call to salvation was there. And when he answered the call to salvation, all of a sudden, there was the call to separation. He said, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And as soon as Moses took his shoes off, God said, Moses, I have a job for you. I have a job for you. And I'm going to send you down there, and you are going to bring my people up out of Egypt. That's pretty exciting. Did you know that if you're here tonight and you're saved, you answered the call to salvation. God gave you the call to separation, and then he gave you the call to service as well. God didn't save you just so that you can live out your life and then die and go to heaven. If that's all it was, then he'd have just taken you out of here the day you got saved. But he left you here because there's service to do. There's a job. Like I told you at the beginning, there's something you can do that you can't do, and something you can do that you can't do, and you can do that you can't do. And each of us are unique individuals with unique spheres of influence, and all of us meet people that none of the rest of us have met, and God has jobs and opportunities of service for all of us. And don't think that just because you get to a certain age or a certain point in life that God can't use you anymore. It just might mean that the area of service has changed a little bit, but God still wants you to serve Him. Still wants you to serve Him. Some of the greatest testimonies of mission work and revivals that happened around the world and all the rest were not necessarily the direct result of the preacher or the song leader or the, you know what they were the direct result of? People who couldn't do anything but pray. You see, that's all they could do? Yeah. And that's a big deal. That's what they could do. And so they did it. And God blessed it and did great things all over the world. You see, you might not be able to do everything you could do 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but service never stops. It never stops for the child of God. God has a purpose and a place of service for you, and you need to find it. The right response when God says, I have a job for you to do, the right response is the same as it was for the call to salvation. Here am I. Here am I. God, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. Is that what, how do you even do that? Well, find out what needs to be done. Just ask. I would dare say, in every church that we're in throughout the year, there are more things that could be done and more ministry that could be accomplished if there was just somebody who could step up and take the lead in that ministry. In every church. Now, Pastor Lance is not here tonight, so let me tell you a little secret, okay? He probably won't find out I told you this, okay? This is a secret. If you want to get rid of him, you get tired of him next week, and you want to get rid of him, line up after the morning service one at a time, shake his hand and say, Preacher, I just want to serve God. Is there anything I can do? And after about three of you, he'll grab his heart, have a heart attack, fall on the ground dead. You know why? Because that's shocking. But it shouldn't be. That should be our heart all the time. Hey, preacher, what needs to be done? Pastor, just tell me, I see we've got this thing coming up. Is there something I can do? Do you need help with that? Is there a way I can get involved? What do you want me to do? You want to find an area of service? The first way to find out is just ask. Just ask, what can I do? And then jump in and do it and be faithful. Amen. When he says, you know, there is something you could do, and he gives you the job to do, don't say, well, I didn't want that job. No. Say, yes, I'll do that. If that's what needs to be done, I'll do that. And then just be faithful to do it. Amen. Just be faithful. The call to service. When the call to salvation comes, the only right answer is, yes, here am I. When the call to separation comes, the only right answer is, here am I. When the call to service comes, the only right answer is, here am I. But the further you go down the line in the calls, the more people quit listening. There are a lot of folks who answer the first one, who just for some reason never hear the second one. And it's not that the call wasn't there. It was that they weren't listening. And there are those who answer the second one, who never get around to that third one in service. And it's not that God's not calling. It's not that opportunities aren't there. It's just that they're not listening. And they don't hear the call when it comes. And then there's a fourth one I want you to see. And look, if you would, we stopped in verse number 10 where God said, I'm going to send you down there. Look at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said, God, I think you got the wrong guy. Who am I to go back down there and bring your people out of Egypt? And God said, Moses, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. And not only am I going with you, but see, it's just a given as far as God is concerned here. When thou hast brought forth the people. He didn't say, if you're able to get them out of there. He said, now I'm going with you. And when you bring them back here, because it's going to happen, then you're going to serve me on this mountain. You know what he was saying to Moses? He was saying, Moses, when you do this job that I've given you and you get back to this point, you're not going back to herding sheep and you're not going back to your previous life as royalty in Egypt. Nope. Now, once you get back here with those people, it's going to be you and me now for the rest of your life. You're going to be serving me right here on this mountain. That's the call to sacrifice. You see, Moses is signing up not just for a temporary excursion down into Egypt. He's signing up for the rest of his life. This is going to be a long time now. And Moses is going to be walking with God and talking to God, and he's going to get the law of God, and he's going to relay the things to the people, and he's going to see rough times, and he's going to see wonderful blessings, and he's going to see all kinds of great stuff. But from here on out, it's God and Moses, and he is going to sacrifice his life. Can I just tell you, for everybody who answered the call to salvation, the call to service is right on its heel, the call to separation. And for everybody who's answered the call to separation, the call to service is right there. And God says, I have a job for you. And then if you're paying attention, you'll hear God say, I want the rest of your life. It doesn't have to be a mission field or a pastor or a... No, that's just giving him the rest of your life. We talked to our kids a lot as they were growing up. And, you know, being in the ministry and in church all the time, there's always the tendency, people kind of expect that your children will follow your footsteps and do the same thing you're doing. And there's a little bit of pressure that way. That's kind of what people think will happen and they expect and all that. And we've been very careful all of their lives to always tell them, if you're in the ministry, you need to be in the ministry because God wants you there. All we want from you is that you grow up and you raise your family to love God and serve Him. I don't care if that's as the pastor of a church or if that's as an evangelist or if that's a missionary halfway around the world or if that's a plumber. I don't care. Really, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Listen, if it weren't for plumbers and carpenters and doctors and lawyers and grocery clerks and all the rest, there'd be nobody financing missions around the world. God needs a bunch of those people. And all he wants from you is to sacrifice your life to him. Whether you're the doctor or the lawyer or the plumber or the missionary, the sacrifice is the same. Saying, okay, God, from here on out, you have me. You have my life. And I'll raise my family to follow you and to serve you. And if you should want one of my kids on the mission field, you can have them. That's a scary thought, isn't it? But that's what God wants from us. He wants us to be willing to say, Lord, it's all yours. I'm willing to sacrifice my life. And if that means that my grandbabies grow up halfway around the world, if they're where you want them to be, we will rejoice in that. Amen. Sacrifice. Oh, it'd be nicer to have them right here. Right here where you can hang on to them all the time and be there for everything. But if God wants them halfway around the world, they're safer there than they are here. Out of the will of God. He just wants us to be willing to sacrifice. The call to salvation goes out. The call to separation goes out. The call to service goes out. And then the call to sacrifice goes out. You know who missionaries are? They're not special, unique people that grow on trees somewhere that you go pick them off and send them into the field. They're people from churches just like this one. They are. And they've just been listening. They listened one day and they trusted Christ as Savior. They listened and got the call to separation. They listened and got the call to service. And while they were busy serving, God was saying, I want you to give me your whole life. And they were so used to listening and so used to saying yes that it was the most natural thing in the world when God said, I want you to go to the Philippines. I want you to go to Cambodia. I want you to go to Thailand. It was the most natural thing in the world to say, okay, I'll go. And next thing you know, here they are, showing their presentation, getting ready to head halfway around the world. Not unique, different, special people, just people who've been listening to the call of God all along, and they've gotten used to saying, yes, here am I. God is always calling. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Like we said last night, God is not going to call most of you halfway around the world. He's really not. He's just going to call you to stay right here and be faithful and support others to go someplace you can't go. But you got to be listening. You got to be listening for that. And when God says, I want you to give, say, here am I. I'll do that. He's calling. I hope you're listening. Let's end together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we could be here in this place tonight. Lord, thank you that you loved us enough to send out that call and give us an opportunity to be saved. Lord, thank you that most of us in this room tonight, we were wise enough when we saw a bush on fire and saw something happening that we stopped and said, hey, what's that? And you began to speak to our hearts and draw us to yourself. And then, Lord, I pray that we're listening closely for those other calls, the call to separation, the call to service, and particularly this week, the call to sacrifice. Lord, help us realize that the job of reaching the world with the gospel is not somebody else's job. It really is our job. And help us to pay attention to that call and be ready to respond. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.